Blog Talk Radio.
Habaragani, greetings, Hotep, and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi live coming to you straight from my studio. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to all my new friends. I say come in and have a seat and join the reunion. And to my old friends, I look forward to seeing you at the reunion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have been having a reunion on our Always Sisters, Always Friends. We've been talking about sororities and reuniting with old sorors and also old friends. So we'd like to welcome you today, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be getting into the spirit, and our agenda this evening will be to go right into the spirit and then do our attorney at law. We've been talking about helping babies from the bench. That's right. The paralegals have been working very feverishly out there on projects to help babies from the bench. And we've been discussing some of the things that's going on with those infants and the ones that are failing to thrive. Now, we also have a new 120-minute segment. And during that segment, ladies and gentlemen, we have been bringing a variety of topics to you, such as the attorney at law, addressing educational law. And we'll be talking about educational school law, the 504 school law code. And we'll also be talking about the 457 and giving you more information about state articles and understanding how you can become an advocate and self-advocate for your children. Now, we have also been opening up our room and inviting those Greeks in to talk about solutions so we can have a protocol. And we're going to invite them back again today to come in to talk. And on our area of family life education, we've been focusing in on jumping the broom. For those of you who are planning an African wedding and would like to do the preparation maybe 6 months to a year in advance, you certainly want to get started early so you can buy all those paraphernalia that you need for jumping the broom. And as a matter of fact, you need to also have a broom that's been made for you specifically. And we've also been talking about health alert. We talked a little bit about detox and cleansing the body and utilizing every effort for spring cleaning. Now, we know that March is over with, but some of us are still detoxing and spring cleaning. It's necessary if we want to get those fine figures and get our bodies down to an art and to a sculpture app. And if you're not in a health club and you're over 50, you ought to be. You need to start being careful about your weight and what you eat and being good to yourself, because you can look good at 58 and 60. I'm a prime example that you can. Now, I want those women to understand you can't eat bonbons all day and you can't eat Hershey bars all day and think you're going to fit into a size 7. I know, I've tried that. You've got to let those things go. Now, I would like for you to step over into the talking cure room with me and quiet your spirit. Just quiet your spirit. synchronize your vital sign, and I'll synchronize mine with yours. And let's count breaths together. We're going to go over and slip into the gap. I used to run a room called Slipping into the Gap, and that room was a whole host of conscious people meditating. Now, we're going to try to reinvent that wheel, and we're going to try to show you how to slip into the gap and get into your consciousness and stay there for a few minutes so that you can begin to sleepwalk while you're awake. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to getting into the spirit. Now, stand with me with your hands facing up and acting as you, if you're ready to receive. Stand with me. And I'd like to thank you so much for being a part of Getting in the Spirit. This is a very special part of the show. Everyone knows here in this room that we bring about prayer to set the aura of our day, to set the aura of the room so that we have precedence over our lives. Now, you're not in control. Remember, we've given our lives over to the higher creator, and we allowed him to mold us and to direct our path and lean out on our own understanding. Now, as we stand here with our palms facing up, I want you to be mindful of the many men and women that died through the passage, and asking God to help those few that are lost in the middle passage, help them find their way home. And as they find their way home, lead them and guide them through a candlelight. So why don't you light a candle tonight for those loved ones who are on their way back home? Set that candle out and call their name. And why don't you pour a glass of water as I do? I'm pouring a glass of water for my Father's spirit. And I say, Ashe. I'm pouring a glass of water for my mother's spirit to quench her thirst. And I say, Ashe. I light a candle for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe, Clara, come home quickly and reconnect with the family. I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Father, may this light guide you all the way home. Now, join me as I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. And finally, I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. In like manner, you ought to do this periodically so that you are calling on forces from all cardinal directions. And be mindful to ask permission from your higher self or from your elders. And remember to dobale your elders, meaning you bow down in front of your elders. Children, you are to always lower your eyebrows and your head before an elder. As we stand here with our hands open and our heads bowed, Father, we ask that you would fit us into your plan. We ask that you would direct and guide us so that our lives will be meaningful for you and that we will govern ourselves accordingly. We ask that you would begin to give us the ability to come to you, Lord, and humble ourselves. Father God, we ask that we be able to see our children grow old. We ask that we be connected to our family. We ask that those that are in the middle passage that are on their way back home, that they find a cool place in the sun and that they come home quickly. Father God, help us to stay in the spirit so that we will not be confused by the lust of the flesh. Help us to understand that all our solutions and answers are in the spirit. Help those who don't understand what Holy Ghost means, help them to come into consciousness to understand it's just a phrase. But what we really should worry about is if we are conscious of the Spirit and do we know the Spirit when we hear him or her. Now, I ask you, Father, to reacquaint all of my brothers and sisters with their ancestors. Reconnect them back to their higher selves. We call on Oludulama Ray, the god of the African race. We call on Oromola, the African prophet, and we asked our eldest brother that he would direct and guide us. Father, we pray that every family represented here will be blessed down to the 1,000th generation. And for those who hate God and do not love, may they be cursed down to the 1,000th generation. Father, you know you have given us blessings and curses. And in one hand, you give us blessings. And on the other hand, we are also met with curses. Father, we pray that anything that is up on a tree, that it's upon a tree that is curses, that you break the curses against us, and that we may be able to go through the boundary line of those curses that have held us down. Now free us, Father, so that we can live for your purpose and for your good deeds. Now we thank you, Father, that you always hear our prayer, because the prayers of a righteous and fervent man are always heard. We thank you then. We're mindful, Father, of the fact that it is not us ourselves, who have made us and who have given us our being, but you give us our strength and our being, and we praise you, we magnify you, and we lift you up higher, and we hallow your name, and we say to God be the glory. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going on that trip with me. It's very important that you should stop, meditate, and allow the Spirit to overtake you. And get in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to station identification because we know that shoulders are made for emergencies.
Shoulders are for emergencies only. Talk to me, poem. I'm all alone. Nobody understands what I'm saying. Have you been in jail, poem? A lot of poems go to jail like a lot of women who get tired of no good men. Do no good poems beat up on people? Do no good poems say, I'm sorry, the next day? I know poems get lost because they're always being found. There are wanted posters, milk bottles, and lonesome guitars in the night looking for a poem to take home. I know poems get neglected, just like doo-wop singing on the back porch and the deacons opening church with leaning on the everlasting arms. People forget what got them over, what saved them. What are your plans, poem? Give it up. I hear you're a rap star now, going for the Grammy and the gold. Everybody's singing your praises. Do you ever miss your home? The sign on I-81 says, shoulders are for emergencies only. Ride me, poem. I think I've got the blues.
All right. Have you written any poems lately? Have you use those shoulders for emergency? That's right. They are for emergency. And oftentimes we have to use them. I love that poem by Nikki Giovanni. It is a great thing to be able to have Nikki Giovanni amongst us and to hear her voice and her spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite you into the Attorney at Law. And we've been talking about helping babies from the bench. And we're going to come right back into that segment, Helping Babies Right from the Bench. All right.
The Sermon on the Warp Land. The fact that we are black is our ultimate reality. Ron Karenga. And several strengths from drowsiness campaigned, but spoke in single sermon on the warp land, and went about the warp land saying no. My people, black and black, revile the river. Say that the river turns and turn the river. Say that our something in double pod contains seeds for the coming hell and health together. Prepare to meet, sisters, brothers, the brash and terrible weather, the pains, the bruising, the collapse of bestials, idols. But then, oh then, the stuffing of the hulls, the seasoning of the perilously sweet, the health, the heralding of the clear obscure. Build now your church, my brothers, sisters. Build never with brick, nor corten, nor with granite. Build with lithe love, with love like lion eyes, with love like morning rise, with love like black, our black. Luminously indiscreet, complete, continuous.
Welcome back, family. Thank you for going with me on Shoulders Are Made for Emergencies and also the Sermon on the Mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Care to Read Room, and we have been featuring poetry as well as short stories, orators, so that you can feel the vibration of the literacy. That's right, we aim to close the gap of illiteracy, and now we've been talking about illiteracy in the area of financial literacy. Is junior achievement the missing puzzle? We've discovered that it is. It is definitely the missing puzzle, and we want you to go out and register for those classes, students. We want your moms to go and register you for the curriculum and download it, mothers, and use it. There are after-school programs throughout the 50 states that your children could be enrolled in, and they can be learning how to utilize economic status and how to flow with money. Now, we have decided to partner with Junior Achievement. We don't expect everyone will, but we would like to encourage you to go and get those credentials offline. You can take those courses, and they will give you so many clock hours for taking these classes. And if there's any volunteers out there, why don't you volunteer and put some time in to help Junior Achievement? And you radio show hosts that are out there working with the Boys and Girls Club, like Michael Bazin. How are you, Michael? Michael, there's a great opportunity for you to continue to work with the families under Junior Achievement. I hope you will join us in this effort. I know how you feel about the Boys and Girls Club and how you've worked and working all over the United States and mentoring young youth. That's a great thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is our effort to mentor those young foot soldiers, and I say that because they're my first love. I think that they're going to be the one to save us from our catastrophe. And do not despise the foolish thing, because the foolish things will confirm the wise. Now, let me go on into my topic. Today's topic that we're talking about is attorney at law. As you know, we are going to be doing the paralegal aspect, and this month I'm going to close it off by the 31st, and then we're going to come back with the regular show of doing helping babies from the bench, because I think it's a noteworthy show and one that I can teach on, because I am not a member of the bar. I am not a member of the bar. I'm not an attorney. So therefore, I can speak on topics that I'm familiar with that doesn't elude me to being a lawyer. Now, the area that I was talking to you about yesterday was about babies that were not thriving and babies who were coming home neonatals, preemies, wearing someone's stocking and able to fit in the palm of your hand. Now, as I talked to you yesterday, I elicited for those people out there who are interested, like those professional women who have children that are low birth rate, and they are looking to start support groups to work with the parents to talk about the subject. Don't just keep it dormant, but when you talk about it, it opens up for newfound information. Now, I told you that there is a massive amount of cases in the courtroom under co-parenting as well as under the Child Development Department and placement of children in their proper foster care homes. So there's children that are being placed as we speak now in those categories. And when I say helping the babies from the bench, that means the children that are being placed back in the homes with the parents, there is a number of things that we try to provide. I'm an early childhood specialist that provides services for those early childhood candidates who are in the process of getting their credentials. I've been providing this for years, where I offer my services to mentor them and evaluate them for the state. And this is done with a fee, of course, and I've been on sabbatical for the last 3 years. However, these positions for early childhood are necessary. There's a shortage of early childhood teachers, and there must be more encouragement of early childhood teachers becoming credentialed through the state, because the state is mandating that you have license and you have to go through training. Now, when you want to help someone in law, you can always volunteer for the legal aid. That is a proper place to go. And for those of you who want to help babies from the bench, you can go and talk to your legal aid office and talk to them about guardian ad litem if you are paralegal, and talk to them about working with babies who are abused. How do you prevent this from happening, and how do you speak out on behalf of those children who have been abused, and how do you make recommendations to the judge as to the things that they need? And we want to make sure these babies are equipped with what they need, so therefore there's a necessary requirement and request for advocates to come forward. Now, when we help babies from the bench, we are not only helping the baby, we are also trying to help the mothers. Mothers need a lot of training. They need a lot of early childhood foundational training. And sometimes they didn't get it in that 101 home ec class. So they're going back to school learning parenting school. And there's a mandate for those parents who are going through divorces now. They must go through co-parenting 6 credit hours in certain states, not all the states. And I know Indiana is one of them, and I know Illinois is also one, where they're now required to parent their children in separate households, and they must be retrained, and they must have a plan on file as to how they're planning on sharing the custody of these children. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to go to station identification, and it's because of power of faith I need to take this sabbatical.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Care to Read Room. Now, I'd like to say that this Friday we're going to have a family reunion, and we're inviting all of our friends and followers, and I will be emailing some more short notes out hopefully today inviting you. So if you get my note, please do come and join us on Friday. We are going to be talking about various different topics, and one of them is about helping babies from the bench and addressing the low birth rate. And we will also be talking about economic status. How do we get some? How do we get back in control and run our own finance? And I'd like for you to come in with questions during the chat room. And please, you know, lock in that phone line and call in. We are on the air, ladies and gentlemen, at 646-478-0270. I want some of those co-hosts to call in, like Michael Bazin and Dino Dean. We haven't heard from you in a while. I keep getting emails from you, and I know your time zone is a little different from mine. But get on the phone and call me, Dino. I haven't heard from you in a while. Now, Omi's going to straighten up her act, too. That means that I'm going to get out there and start listening to some of your shows. And if you haven't already noticed, I've been in some of your room leaving you those little love notes saying, hey, keep on with the keep on and go ahead on. I've been giving out accolades after accolades, encouraging my brothers and sisters. Now, I don't get to follow people too often, and I'm going to figure out how that thing works in a minute and how it's done, and maybe you can shed some light up on it this Friday. But nevertheless, people, I love this family. I love what I see happening, and I want you to keep supporting me. Like I said, I'm going to take you somewhere. Like Mabel Staples says, I'll take you there. So eventually I'm going to take you somewhere. And once again, we are starting out with our 120 minutes, and it's a lot of time for Omi to be talking. So bear with me. It feels like I have been up around the clock because I've been up doing some projects on the Internet. So if I get slack happy, just tell me to go and put on some music and to shut up. Okay, and that's what I'm about to do right now. I'm going to put on some Dirty Dozen. I'm going to call all you men to the floor so I can wake up and get this thing going. So help me out. Here comes the Dirty Dozen. All you men, get on the floor.
Shake it fast. If you can't, you can see me shake it. Yes, 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 it's a dirty man.
Welcome back, family. I hope that Dirty Dozen woke somebody up. That's right. I needed to be woke up, and I had to bring on the music, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for going with me on that. I needed that little refresher, because when you're doing 120 minutes, I'm telling you, you feel stretched, okay? Now, I said I was going to talk about the laws, the 504, which is the school code law, and that's the IDEA law, and that IDEA law is usually used under other health impaired and also for attention deficit disorder. There are services that they can get under the 504. Now, those laws were created for the educational special ed. Now, I want you to also understand that parents, you need to get the handbook from your school district and you need to read the handbook and find out how you can get your hands on the 504 IDEA law and also on the articles and read them feverishly. If you have a child that's enrolled in special education that has a label, then you definitely have to stay involved. Mothers, I want you to understand that you're the first child, the first advocate for your child, and you role model for that child. At the same time, you'll have to learn to cut through bureaucracy by learning what the regulations say. If you have children that are transitioning, understand that you must have your IEP completed and revisited at least every 2 years. And if it's not being revisited and updated, you need to talk to your counselor. And you need to make sure you don't do a boilerplate IEP, but one that has been drafted specifically for your child, one that is a workable IEP that is conceivable that you can accomplish. Don't go putting things in the IEP that you know Junior can't accomplish. Now, Junior, he's gonna run the 50-yard dash, and then after Junior does that, he's going to do the broad jump. You got to put things that are reasonable in that IEP, and you got to make sure that you go to those staff meetings, mothers, and don't let a surrogate advocate sit in for you. You show up. Because it's a lot of money that goes into planning those staffings. And if you don't show up, they've now start creating the surrogate advocates who will stand in your place. And you won't get to put input in your child's IEP. Now, what is an IEP? An IEP is an individual plan that you outline for your child. So, therefore, if your child is of age, you let your child have input in writing the goals and objectives of what they plan to do. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole lot on this subject today, but I do want you to understand there are workshops that go on throughout the district, and usually those workshops are free to the parents of children with disability. Now, you mothers who have been lecturing and who have been doing seminars and workshops for a long time, believe it or not, you're the experts, and you should be conducting these workshops and seminars and bringing them back to your community and self-advocating for your child and for others. I want you to understand that lawyers are slowly becoming connected to these cases when these cases become cumbersome and you need to have a due process hearing. Most of the time, that's when you see attorneys who are taking on these cases. Other than that, you see a large portion of mothers advocating for other mothers as well as paralegals. Now, I'd like to thank you for being here on this particular segment. We are about to go right into our Always Sisters, Always Friends, Always Sisters, Always Friends. Now, we're going to get Miss Celie on here because we know she's got the blues, and that's what this is all about, Miss Celie and her blues.
Mm-hmm. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
All right, man, we'll just go right into this. Welcome back, family. I've Known Rivers is a poem that I have used throughout my profession with the young students, and the young students seem to like that poem, so I was able to capture that in a time capsule for the young people out there. And remember, this is a literacy room, and we have to incorporate poetry, books, and literature. And as you know, the books are flashing up on my screen, on my webpage. However, we are trying to take those 120 minutes and focus it more on you. We would like to hear from you. We would like for you to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Now, about this reunion, today we're talking a little bit about our old loved ones coming back. Now, I am going to be putting in a ploy for my 10 sisters to at least show up on this radio show on Friday, at least one of them. And I'm going to call her name out, Miss Hempel. We're going to have Miss Hempel on the line. This is my best friend. And Mrs. Hempel and I have gone through so much together. And we pretty much are so jointed at the hips that we think alike and we function alike. And some say we even talk alike and act alike. And we've grown up from girlhood all the way to women in their voluptuous 50s. And we still have the same camaraderie and the closeness. And it's a good thing. I can't remember when I've had a knockdown, throwdown argument with her. We always seem to get over it, and we still seem to love each other. And her husband knows this, so he's always trying to get me to come down there. Matter of fact, he was the one that got me to pack up my clothes and my things like the Beverly Hillbillies, and we packed up and moved to Dallas because they needed us near them. And we went there and stayed for about 2 years so that we could be close around family. We are family-oriented, and Mrs. Hempel and her husband, Mr. Hempel, we all grew up together, so we're very close-knit. And I'm going to be bringing them on Friday to talk a little bit about our lifestyle as friends when we were coming up and how we're still close. We're probably the closest people in the family, and we talk the most. And people don't understand what we have to talk about, but we have so many memories that we can talk about when we were courting and dating and going fishing and skipping school. We have all those memories to hold on to. Now, when you grow up in a family with 10 girls, I tell you, you always tend to have your favorites, and you tend to do things more with others than you do with some. But we're going to be talking about bringing friendships together and closer, and not only just talking once a month, but making sure that you connect, really connect with your loved ones and find out what is it that they need, how can you help them, and how could you surprise them and make them happy. I think it was one of the best things when I surprised my sister, Deborah Hempel, and went to Dallas and stayed there, and she was just appalled and shocked that I loved her that much that I would come and live close, you know, so close to them that she couldn't believe it because we had been separated for so long while we went our separate ways after college. So I'm saying all that to say it's okay to have your favorites. I have another favorite, my youngest brother. He and I are like two peas in a pot, and we have so much to talk about. We were those little children that were on the train going down to the train with little notes attached to us, holding on to each other's hands for dear life. And we remember all those things. And even today, he acts like he's my mother, and I act like I'm his mother. And I always talk about I don't miss my dear mother because I had a brother to take the place of my dear mother. And that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes your brothers can be so protective, and I have six of them, and they were so protective of their baby sister. But this particular brother was always checking on me, making sure that everything went well for me. And I want to send kudos out to Melvin Jenkins, the first love of my life, my big brother, who I also call my little brother. Now, this is a reunion, people. You could come in and give out some shout-outs if you want during this time, because we're talking about always sisters, always friends. Now, what happens when you get in a quarrel with your brother or sister? Do you fall out and stop talking? Well, my brother and I have knocked down drag-outs over the phone, but before we get off the phone, we kiss and make up, and then we start again next time. But whenever we need one another, we cannot part unless we say, I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to let me do this for you. You have to learn how to have a friendship with your brothers and sisters, and you have to stay connected, ladies and gentlemen. And don't ever let anyone tell you you're too close to your family. You can't get close enough. Now, this is a reunion. Let's play some music and go to the phone line, and we're going to be right back at you in the atmosphere, but I'm going to get my train in here because I got to get over here and get some music. Come on, BJ. Come on, BJ. Take me over there to the music stand. I got to pick out some music. All right. Going to pick out some music because this is a family reunion. Always sisters, always friends. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy that you can join us today. And this is the segment of Always Sisters, Always Friends. And I want somebody to kiss me on my neck, like Erykah Badu says. I want somebody to kiss me on the back of my neck. All right. Erykah Badu is a good friend of mine, and we had an opportunity to chat when she wasn't as big as she was, and she used to support me in my poetry. But I love her music, and I love what she does with her Filthy Luca. She keeps it close to her. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to do for you three poems, and then we're going to go into Ujamaa.
Three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks. Performed by Ruby D.
We Real Cool. The pool players seven at the golden shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin. Thin gin, we jazz June, we die so.
All right, Ruby D, we real cool. I like that one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you back to Always Sisters, Always Friends. And you got Omi in the room talking about how you are to love your brothers and sisters and how you are to stay connected. This is a reunion, and this is the appropriate time to talk about this. Now, I talked a little bit about my sorors yesterday and about the Greek fraternities and how it was necessary for us to come up with a protocol. I'm still on that hype. We need a protocol, and we need a procedure. And we need a set of instructions as to how to function and carry ourselves out in the forefront, out in the community. Because if we don't, ladies and gentlemen, our Greek party is going to send us out there unprepared. Now, I want you Greeks to call in if you're out there because we need your input. We're not beating up on any Greeks, and we're not down or against Greeks. We're talking about how we can come together in unity and come up with a protocol that is good for all of our Greeks. Now, this is an all-Greek call, so anybody that's Greek out there, even if you're GDI, call in at that number, 646-478-0270. Call in and tell me about the things that you've been working on in your fraternity to make a difference, to make a change. Now, I'm going to go to these phone lines, and I'm going to ask my co-host, can she give me some things that we can do to make a difference in our fraternities and Greek sororities? Mrs. Harvey. How
yes.
are you? And are
I'm
we
fine.
In better spirits today?
Yes, we are good spirits.
That's great. Now, what do you think we can do as Greek sororities and fraternities to make our organizations more appealing and give us a cosmetic facelift so we are offering and presenting a different package to our young people?
I think you need to come together more often. I think you should have a meeting more often. You guys should meet and discuss and talk and get things out and do things to bring yourselves together.
Well,
and as you do that, you can even sometimes go to your church together, you know. You never know. By being together, you can solve a lot of problems by talking out and talking things over and discussing and coming together with a program, and you ought to bring that program together. And you guys could learn and get things going, and you would see how close that would bring you.
Now, Mrs. Hovey, the one thing you talked about that we should talk, and communication seems to be a very, very big problem for some people who were not brought up in an articulate family and who was not encouraged to express themselves. They feel limited. They feel like they are not able to express themselves, and they feel like they are short in certain areas, and they may have to get on this short bus and go home.
But
now,
you know,
let
but
me
you
finish
know.
Now. Here's what I'm saying. Talking is the most strenuous thing for people who don't have the gift. Now, in teaching people how to have oratory and how to talk, it is an art, it is a skill, and it must be taught. So you find children who are emulating their parents, and their parents are putting them in front of them and their role model. You've got to do that sometimes for your husband and for your children, because sometimes they become mealy-mouthed and they can't seem to get the words out. Now, you know how they were in the South when their words became, you know, tripped up and they couldn't get their words out, and then you had this miscommunication. So part of what's wrong with our African society is that we don't talk and communicate to each other. We talk at each other, and we don't listen when the other person's talking. We're constantly thinking about what to say while the other person's talking. Come on,
well,
Ms. Harvey.
That tells you right there, the lack of communication breaks down friendship right there. You have to talk and get to know what this problem is or what's going on with you, Come together and you will learn. And as you talk and find out the problem, it'll bring you closer together. It makes you recognize what's wrong with the whole group.
Well, Ms. Harvey, that's what I'm talking about. You first must know the art and skill of communication in order to talk. There's a lot of us that are tied-tongued that want to talk and can't seem to get the words out. Now, maybe you have a wife that talks for you all the time, and she actually fills in for you, and you just gotten to the point where you're lazy, and you refuse to stop her, and you let her keep going on. And before you know it, you just lay in the cut, and you let her do all the talking, and you tell everyone, well, my wife, she does all the talking, and I'm not much of a talker. I don't say too much. And then you sit there with something to say, and you let her rule over you and say, all right, darling, now I know this is how you're feeling, and this is what he's feeling, and I want to tell you what he's feeling, and this is how he's feeling. Instead of you saying, excuse me, I can speak for myself. I know how I'm feeling, and I know what's wrong with me, and I can tell the world if I want to, and if I don't, I don't have to. Now, that's how the brothers got to speak up. I know this because I've been in a relationship where my husband wanted me to talk all the time. I learned to become a talker. I used to be shy. You wouldn't believe it, but it's the God's truth. I used to be shy, but I was put in a position where I had to talk all the time, so I had to find something to talk about. But before this, it was an Aaron and Moses situation. We would get somewhere, and he was supposed to talk, and he would become mealy-mouthed and forget what he was going to say, or couldn't put the two sentences and string them together with verbs and punctuation, so I'd have to say something to keep the thing going. Now, some of you wives are finding that your husband have poor communication skills, and you're finding that they don't listen. So what do you do when you have a friend that never listens to you, and you have a child that says, you never listen to me? Now, the first thing you say is, you repeat back what a person said. Well, I think you said, I never listened. And I think you probably said that you would like to communicate more with me. You start repeating back to the person what it is they said. So then at the end of the conversation, they can't accuse you of not listening. And sometimes we're so busy thinking about the next phrase we're going to say that we don't even hear what the other communicator is saying. And sometimes we say so much in our silence, and that is where you can become powerful. Sometimes we got to shut our mouth and let the man get whatever it is out. I don't care if it kills him, if he chokes on it, let him get it out. Until he can get it out, he's going to constantly be frustrated and angry with you about something because he couldn't get his words out fast enough. Now, how many of you women are always arguing with men and you tell them, you can't beat me in no argument? Don't even try it. Boy, I'll cut you down and you won't even be able to get up when I'm done with. Now, you got women that are constantly using their tongue to slash and lash a man. Women, you're faster with your tongue than a man. It's quite naturally he can't get the words out fast enough. You have a more broader vocabulary. So he's at a deficit. Don't work against your man at a deficit. You know he has limited words. Don't. And even it tells us when you see him down, don't kick him when he's down. Give him a chance to regroup and bring himself back up to par so he can refuel and get those words together and try to use two different words before he start cursing every other word. Beep, 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 beep. Now you're causing this man to have to talk fast, so he figures it's easier to use 50 cents words than $500 words. So you got to teach him, no, 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 babe, you don't want to use those words. I can't communicate with you on that level. I'm sure we can communicate on a higher level than that. Because once you start letting him get away with those 50 cents words and every other word, you're beeping it out and he's cursing, you're going to forevermore hate the communication and you're going to shy away from it and you're going to think the man is unintelligent because he can't produce any words that are less than four syllables. Now, I'm saying this to say we got to group together and become friends again. The first preservation is to become friends and to trust one another and to trust the other one to believe that they'll be honest to you. When you ask the question that you really want to know, stay there and wait for the answer. So many of us ask questions that we don't want the answer to, and then we get up and walk away, and then the person says, see there, you never listen. You never listen to me. Okay? See, and now you got them stuttering, and you got them backlashing and the whole bit, and the man didn't stutter before you met him. So what's the problem? Because he's trying to keep up with you and trying to show you he can out-talk you. A man cannot out-talk a woman. So women, stop talking so much and get them built up and encourage them to talk. And once they get going, help them on the way. Keep encouraging them to talk so you can slip out the room and leave them in the room talking. Because trust me, when company comes, he's going to push you up front and let you do all the talking. And he's going to look real stupid and say, well, my wife does all the talking. You know, I don't talk that much. My wife does all the talking. And then you're just going to go to town. No, you're not. You're going to put him up front and you're going to show him how to do what you do. Now, I didn't say show your son, I didn't say show your daughter, I said show your husband, because you and him are supposed to be the best friends. How many of you are married to somebody out there that you're not friends with? Then something's wrong. I was friends with my husband for 36 years. We're the best of friends. We knew how each other thought, and we got in each other's mind, and we could read each other's mind. That's what good friends do. That your friends are going to signal you. They're going to tell you something. Girl, you're just going to look over there at the other room, and your friend's eyeballs are going to glance at yours, and that's a clue to tell you, let's get up out of here. Girl, it's time to go. And then after you've been with that friend for so many years, you can read them. And by all means, if they become ill or something is happening, it will be a tattletale sign up in the sky, ribbon in the sky, telling you everything about your best friend. And you're not going to rest until you can get to him or her to find out what's going on, which you already know because your antennas are connected to her. You have a vibrational sign, ladies and gentlemen, and your antennas through the ether in your very hair. And your souls are connected. So then when you feel weak, that other person is feeling your weakness too. And I don't care that you say, I'm not interested in that man no more. I don't care. Now, you and that man get broke up and you separate, you're going to lose weight and you're going to stop eating and you're going to be shiftless and you're going to become depressed and you won't know why. Because a part of that person's spirit is in you. You carry it there. You know, you have something called passion for the man or the woman, and you carry that in your spirit. And when that person is void from you, there's a part of you that is void too. Now, is it okay to tell somebody that I miss you when you're gone? Is it okay to tell your best friend, I wish you wouldn't leave so often. I wish you would come and spend more time with me, or I feel better when you're around. It's okay. Tell them all of those things. And at the same time, if they don't talk enough, then you talk for them. Do you miss me when I'm gone? You wish I stayed around the house more often? Do you wish I could bring you something back because you didn't go with me this time? You've got to start thinking for them and speaking things that they want to say. What about the person that's always apologizing for what he's about to say, and he never says it? Well, I won't say that. No, no, no. I ain't going to say that. Might cause some trouble. I ain't going to talk about that. Then you never can get him to tell you how you feel. Well, how you feel? Well, if I told you, you'd be mad at me if I told you, so I ain't going to tell you. You got people that don't open up and even use their mouth to talk about how they feel. It's okay for you to have feelings, and it's okay to have friends that can read your feelings, because I'm telling you, if you got friends that are joining at the hip, they can read your feelings. Let me give you my case in point. I had a loved one that I always talked to. Got on the phone with this loved one day, and I guess she figured that she would call me in the middle of her being sick. She was having a stroke. And I didn't understand anything she was saying to me, but something in my spirit kept telling me something is not right with this conversation. Something is wrong. She's sick. And she kept talking and putting her daughter on the phone, and her daughter said, Mother, you're not speaking right, and something's wrong with your voice. You know, why do you sound like you have mush in your mouth? And I kept saying, I don't understand anything she said over this last half an hour. But that was a call for help when she got on that phone and called me. She wasn't sure if she was going to come back or not, so she made that phone call to me, and we conversed on the phone while she was having the stroke. Now, I've had visions of loved ones who were close to me who came back after death to talk to me. And this is the spirit that's in me, and I see these visions. And they came back to speak to me, and they flew through the house, and I actually flew with them. It wasn't a dream, at least it wasn't to me. I felt myself experiencing it. But those that you're close to, you will reconnect to them. And if there's something about to happen, or if they're sick, you will get a jar, or someone will come and respond to you. Maybe a special angel will come back and respond to you. You've got to stay in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, so you won't be confused by the lust of the flesh. The flesh is temporal. The spirit is eternal. And therefore, you have to know how to read the unction. Let me go to the phone lines and ask Mrs. Harvey, has she ever had the spirit to come back and tell her something about her girlfriend that she didn't know? Has she ever had a spirit come back and talk to her? Mrs. Harvey, I'd like to know, have you ever had a spirit remind you of something or tell you something that you didn't know?
Well,
Well, you know, I had things happen, but I didn't recognize it when it happened to me until after it was all over. Then I realized what it was. And that was after my mother had passed on and I had a decision to make. And I was so upset, I didn't know how to make the decision. I was praying and crying for God to help me. And you know what? A spirit came to me and told me what decision I should do. And I as I went to sleep and I woke up and the spirit came to me and again, and I realized it was my mother had given me the decision and the right thing to do, and I did it, and everything come out all right. And you know what? This is what really made me believe in spirit ever since then. I didn't believe in them at first, but I do now.
Well, Ms. Harvey, you know, we are telling people every day to get in the spirit and do not be deceived by the lust of the flesh. And I am constantly telling people that in this room, as for me in my house, we will serve the spirit and we will call upon the spirit by any means necessary so that you understand that you have weaponry. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that spirit is brought here to protect you. And you have guardian angels. And you must utilize these tools because some of us are trying to work in the natural. And you can sick the spirit on somebody. You can tell the spirit on somebody. And you can tell that they're effective because that person will come back and testify to you, confess to you, and apologize to you. And once you sick the spirit on somebody, you can stop people from lying on you. And the spirit is no respecter of person. If you call the spirit and you're not right yourself and you ask the spirit to do something, that spirit will revoke back on you. You don't play with the spirit. You don't go around misusing the spirit or misusing people. The spirit is not something you want to play with. And when you get ready to call upon the spirit, make sure that you're correct in your spirit and your mind, because sometimes you may want the spirit to do something to your friends because you're angry at them, and you send the spirit out to do something to your friend saying, I would like you to do this. Kill him, Lord. Just kill him. No, no, no. You've got to be careful that very curse that you call down, you don't turn it on yourself. And that's why when people come to me saying, oh, witchcraft, voodoo, I say it won't be long before they realize that they're not playing with a toy. It's a tool. And anytime people are wasting their time to do harm to other ones and they dig holes for them, they better be careful that they don't fall in those holes themselves. So that's why when people come to me saying, well, I don't want to know nothing about the spirit, I don't believe in the spirit. How can you not believe in the spirit when the spirit got us through slavery? If it wasn't for the spirit speaking to us to tell us when to move, Harriet Tubman would have never moved, and you still probably would be back in slavery. You have to have the timing of the spirit, and you have to know when to move based on the spirit. It is no book that will tell you, read chapter 16, and that'll tell you when to move. Your spirit is going, and that's why when Harriet Tubman moved and did things, she had to be full of the spirit because she had to know when to move and when not to move. Quiet. Be quiet, John. Be quiet. You going to wade the water, or you going to be a dead Negro? Harriet Tubman knew when to tell those people that was following her, I will kill you and leave you behind before I let you leave you behind to tell the story and give us away. She told her brother that she would shoot him dead if he didn't wade the water. She said, if you don't wade the water, you'll be a dead Negro. Couldn't have been nothing but spirit that told her that. When you're amongst your friends, certain friends that you spend time with, when y'all come together and you are spiritual people, you become collaboratively and synchronizing all of that spirit together, things start to happen. Certain people could come in the room who have been friends for a long time and have connected in spirit, sparks start to fly through the atmosphere, and things start to happen when you bring spiritual people together. I know they do. Let me give you a case in point. And the reason why I put spirit in everything is because spirit has been very kind to me in my ability to work with sick people. And asking that the Spirit would give way to healings for me. I've had the Spirit heal people, and I brought the Spirit in the hospital to cure people that were supposed to be pronounced dead. I know what the Spirit can do for you, ladies and gentlemen. The Spirit is an awesome, awesome tool, and the Spirit at the same time loves to collaborate with you. But you've got to be righteous, and that's why I say stay in the Spirit, and don't go playing with the Spirit when your spirit is not clean. It's very important that we take time out to acquaint ourselves with the Spirit, and that we understand the Spirit loves sacrifice. He inhabits or she inhabits our praises, and we must give sacrifice to the Spirit. I don't care if it's to leave a dish of sweet cakes at the river or the creek or the ocean for Yamanjah, Mother Earth. I don't care if it's leaving a tray or a napkin full of pennies, because the Spirit inhabits our praises and inhabits our sacrifices. So I said all that to know that our friends are our friends in the natural, but they can even more be closer to us in the Spirit. So when people come to me crying about, I lost her, I'll never see her again, I try to show them how to set the altar up to reconnect with their loved ones so they could never lose them. And I'm telling you the same thing. If you have friends that have separated and parted and left you here in the natural, you can know them in the Spirit. And when you know them in the Spirit, no one can take them away from you. You can know them much better, and you can have a better relationship. And you have to understand, you're crying because you don't see that flesh anymore, but the Spirit has never left you. Now, I want to talk about sisters who are jointed at the hip out there. If you are jointed at the hip and have people that can read your mind and see into your lives and call you and tell you what you're thinking or speak your next word before you speak it, call in to these phone lines, 646-478-0270. There's some miraculous things that happen when you start working with your guardian angel, when you start knowing that you have angels that encamp around you. You must understand that God left each and every one of us with Ori. And Ori is that angel that rides on our head, that constantly endows you to do the right thing and cautions you to go right or left. And that Ori has to be prayed to. It has to be dealt with, and you have to constantly acknowledge the Godhead that lives inside of you. Now, we have friends, and sometimes our friends don't go the same path we go. Maybe you may become very spiritual and you become a priest, or you become a priestess and you're in the conscious movement, and now you're seeing things, and now you're feeling things, and you're getting unctions, and you and your friend have drawn away from each other, and your friend is no longer feeling the Spirit like you are. Then you pull her close to you, and you allow that aura to rub back on her and teach her and show her when she once did these things. Don't let her drift away, because your connection together with your friend is very powerful. And when two forces come together that are very powerful, magnificent things begin to happen. Miracles begin to take place. And you can put two people together and pray, and if those two people come together and touch and agree, they can change things. Prayer changes things. It's nothing but a behavior modification. And you have to understand, you must be praying with the right elements in the room. Find your prayer partner. Make your best friend your prayer partner, and begin to look into your best friend's lives and clairvoyantly speak into their lives and tell your friend things that you see in their lives that is about to happen. Don't go saying, I would tell you this, but I ain't going to even tell you, girl. I ain't going to even tell you. Tell her, because if you see it happening in her life, speak it into her life, because that's why you're friends. Friends are supposed to support one another and encourage one another and tell one another things that they can see into the other's lives. More than likely, a good friend is going to tell you a whole lot about yourself. And you got to sit there and listen and don't say a word and don't challenge them. Let them get it out. Once they've gotten it out, then you know that person must be extremely close to you and have some strong bond to you to be able to read you like that. Some people can open a book and read it just like they can open a person and read them. Oracles are very important, and we have to understand the way we keep our skills sharp, we stay before the Spirit and before the Lord. That's what helps you to become sharp in your area of prophesying and clairvoyantly reading into the lives of others. Friends are very important, ladies and gentlemen. You don't trade off your friends. You must remember that they're valuable. You will meet new people, but it's very important that you stay connected to those friends who are spiritual, because you need them so sincerely, because when you are about to do spirit work and you need them to believe with you and stand in the gap, you need a strong spiritual person to stand in the gap with you to believe for what you're about to believe. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for going all the way with us today on Always Sisters, Always Friends. And we brought you into that spiritual realm to talk about our sisters and brothers who are connected with us at the joint. And that means that what we're thinking, they say, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. We've got to get like that again, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to even be able to speak words before the other person finishes their sentence and say what they're going to say. That means that we're in their heads. We're in each other's heads. We're in each other's mind. It's very important for us to stay jointed at the hip like that. I didn't say you had to sleep with nobody and you're going to look like you're queer. There's a separate and different opinion about women who are connected with women to the point of being lesbian. I'm not talking about those kind of friendships. I'm talking about friendships that you can leave the room and you're best friend has a word for you and see you in the spirit and can call you on the phone and say, don't go down that road. I saw you down that road. Don't go down that road. We've got to say, okay, I know you care about me, so I'm going to follow what you tell me. You got so many hard-headed people like, girl, what you talking about? Don't go down that road. Oh, you done lost your mind. I got to get down that street. See, hard-headedness and not being moved by the spirit can cause some of us to lose our ever-loving life. And we've got to be have an unction to the Spirit and have an ear for the Spirit. Let those who have an ear for the Spirit hear what the Spirit has to say. And if you don't have an ear for the Spirit, you won't know when it's knocking at your door. It'll sound something like this. Sherelle, don't go down that street. I said don't go down that street. I don't know, but just don't go down that street. All right. All right, I heard you. See, you got to stop with all of the rationalization. Spirit doesn't rationalize. It just speaks. And when it speaks and it tells you something, it gives you an unction. It reminds you, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go here. It is a quiet, quiet whisper. Don't think somebody's going to throw you out the bed and stomp you on the foot and say, wake up here. That's not how spirit works. Spirit is a gentleman, or she is a princess that will come in real quiet, but you got to have an ear for the spirit. Some of us don't have an ear for the spirit. I want to pray for you right now that you might have an ear for spirit. Father God, at the sound of my voice, I pray for those who don't have an ear for spirit and who have been shut off from spirit and have no direction with spirit and cannot hear spirit. I pray for those who have no connection and no teachings from the spirit, that they may become engulfed in spirit and that their minds will be set on spirit at all time. Whatever they do in their habitats and whatever they do in their mind, they will always consider spirit. Now help us and teach us to be more spirit conscious, and let the meditation of our mouth always be meditating and waiting for God to show us and tell us. And Father, don't let us be slothful, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Help us, Father, to understand that Spirit will bring all truth to us and all knowledge in due time. And we thank you, and we give you all the glory and honor. To God be the glory. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going with me on the Talking Cure. Now, Dr. Jamil has been out for a while, and he hasn't been here to talk about health. Now, I am going to talk briefly about health and not anything in depth. And because this is the Health Awareness Hour, I'm going to go to station identification. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And this is a segment where we talk about health awareness. As you know, we've been talking about detoxification, keeping our bodies clean on the inside as well as on the outside. Spring cleaning, I would add. And for those ladies out there who are not familiar with floral, you can actually fluorigate your bodies with floral essence, and you can purchase that at your nearby health store, at your Bombs health store. And you can take that particular probiotics and to the lower intestine, and it will fluorigate your body, and it will help your body as well to detoxify. Now, many people have tried to use various different grains and fibers, and they found that it was too harsh for them. You definitely want to contact your doctor before you go on any kind of fast, and you don't want to take any chemicals with the fast, and you want to be very, very careful that you are not dehydrating yourself. Now, you cleanse yourself also understanding that detoxification can be taken in a form of a liquid, and those antibiotics or those actual powders that you take, the psyllium husk, they also are like fiber, and they pull and utilize it, bringing things out of the system. But mothers, you have got to also understand that there is spring cleaning that you can do in the bottle that you can give your family, and they can take it. It's not X-Lac, and it's something that they can take to help regulate them. Now, in the springtime, you see most people doing the detoxify, but if it's necessary, you can detoxify all year round. It's very important to do that. So this has been Omi talking to you about detoxification. Normally, our in-house resident, Jamel, does this topic, but I'm filling in for him today, so bear with me. I'd like to take you to the music right now. Stay tuned. I'm going to give you track two. It's a poetry.
We hope you've enjoyed this program from Cadman. To order additional cassettes or CDs, or to receive a complete catalog of Cadman and Harper Audio titles, please call us at 1-800-331-3761. You might also try our website, www.harperaudio.com. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that from the horse's mouth. Now let's go into some music here. We have a little bit more time on our hand today. I guess we talked about everything we can talk about. And we're going to try to bring on some of those Isley Brothers here, one of my favorites. And ladies and gentlemen, the Isley Brother has been one of my favorites for a long time. Let me see if I can get them up on the air here and bring them. Okay. The Isley Brothers, you helped me write this song.
Ooh. Yeah. Well. Like all I wanna do is you, all day thinking about you. You're my every dream come true. Since that day I found you, I used to be a player going hard, but now we're holding hands in this park. It's funny how you stop the wrong you used to do when you fight and you leave. Because of you, you did, girl, I want
now.
Can I spend more than forever with you, with you, with you?
Go on and quit your job or take the care of you.
Let me give you what you need.
If you just take my hand, girl, say I do. Cause I do it for you. If you believe.
Yes, yes, yes. You helped me write this song by Ronald Isley and Brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment. This is the hump day to get over the hump. And Omi sure needs you out there. Why don't you call in and light up those phone lines? Because it's important to call in and voice your opinion about what has been said. 646-478-0270. Remember I said that you should be joined at the hip with your friends. And you don't need to know what's in their pocketbook, but what's on their mind and how to appeal to their best interests. And stay calm and collective. Don't argue and nitpick over little things. Find a reason to laugh and be jovial and continue to feel good when you're around that person, because friendships are very, very treasurable. And when you have those memorable moments, you don't want to overshadow them with yelling and fussing. I mean, if you got friends that fuss all the time, they don't know how to stop riling up like a cat all the time, and they got their back arched up all the time for a fight. That's called flight or fright. Those people become dangerous because they can go off. And sometimes they lock themselves out of that mood, and then they can't go back to their original selves. It's important that you keep peace around you by any means necessary. You keep the anger away, because the anger can grow into something that you don't recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to go to the phone lines right now and see what my co-host has to say about getting along with your friends. Mrs. Harvey, how do you suppose we should get along with our friends? And I know we're going to have a little talk, but before we have that little talk, what must we do to be a good friend?
I think you should first learn to make allowances for your friend. Sometimes you can make allowances for stupidity, because sometimes people are not aware, your so-called friends are not aware of what they're doing to you or how they make you feel. So you have to make allowances for them. And most of all, pray for them, because when you do that, they will change. They certainly will. And another thing that we have to learn to do, we have to learn not to make our friends angry. We have to learn to keep peace at all price, no matter what it costs. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want people to make you angry, don't make them angry. Try to find out what makes them happy and do it, even though you may not like to do it, but do it anyway, because it brings about peace and happiness. And that's what it means about making allowances for stupidity. You have to make allowances for those stupid things and look over them and go head on and try to make your friend happy and show some love. Love is an action word. And when you show love, it comes. Everybody will see it, and that love will reverse back on you.
No, you know, that's a good point, Mrs. Harvey. I want to give you some kudos for that. Two kudos for Mrs. Harvey, because she is on the money today. I'm telling you, you must have went and read my note and put some thought into what you're saying, because you are really jamming today, Mrs. Harvey. I want to put it out there. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Harvey, my oldest sister, is jamming today. We don't always get along, but we agree to disagree. But I can stay in her presence, and some people can't even stay in the presence of their sisters without arguing and having cat fights. Now, I said we call a truce with the African-American fighting against the Caucasian girl, a Caucasian lady. We call the truce. Now, there's still many of us African-Americans fighting against our sisters for no reason, hating our sisters. And if you're hating your sister, shame on you. Weren't you taught not to hate your loved ones? If you are hating your sister and if you are quarreling with your sister over a man, shame on you. You need to get over it, girl, because there's many men that are going to be out there, but you've got to release your sister because nothing will go well for you if you don't. It's very important that you do things with your sister and have outings with your sister and with your friends. If you don't have a sister, make you a big sister and start hanging out with your big sister and doing things with her and for her. It's very important that we have connection and have human flesh and blood bonding with us. And I didn't say bonding to hardware like all of these cell phones and all of these apparatuses that we are functioning with these lap computers and just constantly involved with technical things where we don't have any connection to flesh and blood. Well, I want you to bond with somebody today. And if you don't have brothers and sisters that you can bond with, go out and buy yourself a puppy and start bonding with that puppy. But find somebody that you can put your arms around. Now put your arms out. Now wrap your arms around yourself and hug yourself. First preservation is to love yourself. Then you can love somebody else back. Remember to love yourself. Take time with yourself. Do special things with yourself. And we're going to go to this music, and we're going to bring some music back at you this evening. And I don't know what kind of mood we are feeling like we're in today, but I'm going to do one of, one of the Cobb families. We always do that. We're a winner. No, you know what? I'm going to get Unity song on here. We need some unity in this room.
Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Resolution.
Oh, I am. Oh,
Ladies and gentlemen, we just had to get the message to you that it's important to have camaraderie and comrades, and it's certainly important to be joined at the hip. When you are speaking into the lives of your friends, it makes for a better friendship, and you have trust levels. And it's good to have someone that is very fair, and they can read you, and you can listen to them. Isn't it good to know that someone cares enough about you that they see you and that they observe you and know where you're coming from? Now, we're not always right and on the money, but if we're close enough to that person, we're pretty close and pretty darn good about reading what they're thinking, and I can read your mind. And this is true, ladies and gentlemen. When you're reading your mind, synchronizing your thoughts, that's why I always say synchronize your vital signs with mine, because we become on one accord and we can see into the lives of our friends and our loved ones. And I want you to do more of this more often. Have sessions where you bring your friends in and you reconnect with them in the spirit, and you'll begin to be able to see into their lives. I promise you, if you do this often enough, you'll be so conscious in the spirit that nothing will pass you by. You will catch up on everything. Now, I want to say for our young people who don't know anything about spirit, mothers, you need to sit them down, set them up an altar, and talk to them about spirits. And I didn't say beat them over the head about going to church. I'm teaching you how to teach them to get in touch with their higher self, and they can reconnect with their higher self. And as they learn how to do this, I don't care what fix they're in or how far they are away, they will always be able to reconnect with Mother Nature. And you want them to know this so that they can be better judges of reading the atmosphere, reading the ethers in the air, and reading the aura in the community and the air to determine when to make a move. When you get astute to spirit, you will be able to utilize spirit for many different things in your life. And I want to remind you that if you have loved ones and you're not loving them and loving on them, oh, how we love them, and how the people will know you love them when they see the way that you treat them. It's important that you tell your loved ones that you love them, that you care about them, and that you are consciously connected to them. Some children think that parents are supposed to put them out when they turn 18 and that they are not supposed to return home. And some young children don't need to be out there, and some young children need guidance. And some of them think that once they turn 18, you're no longer their parents. But mothers, you got to put your arms around them. And for those husbands who are lost and don't realize, the most important thing to a young man is a family. The most important thing to a young woman is a family. When you put your arms around them and put family back together, it means more to them than anything in the world. But you've got some men trying to play this heroic figure and saying that we can do everything alone. And they're going at it alone, and they're in the world by themselves. And you know what happens when you stay in the world by yourself and you don't become jointed at the hip. You become an island. And no man wants to become an island, so let's reconnect ourselves back together as friends. And as we talk about this Friday, bringing in our friends for the reunion, I want you to be able to understand that Omi is your friend. And if I wasn't your friend, I wouldn't come on these airways as often as I do. So I know there's a lot of you who want to reconnect to your higher self. And I pray, it's my prayer, that you should reconnect to your higher self and that you will begin to be able to see things in the spirit, and you'll be able to call things to be not as though they were. And you'll be able to see into the lives of your loved ones, and you'll be able to see what's going on, and you will have the answer and solution for it. And we'd like to thank you for going with us on this journey today, because we know if you were not here, we couldn't do this. And we want to thank you for giving us the strength to come on and to greet you. You are such a winner. We want to play that song for you because you are a winner.
Y'all ready?
Y'all ready?
Say yeah! Say yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we plan on doing, is moving on up. As you know, we do get our ratings and we look at our charts, and we'd like to say that we're going to turn those charts around and move on up. And with your help and support for following us, we can do that, ladies and gentlemen. And we are looking at our new topic that's coming up that we're going to be bringing on board. And we're going to be bringing that topic on in just 2 more days. Then you will have a brand new topic, and Omi's got to get busy. That means she's got to get some rest. Yes, and I'm going to be bringing it on hard and heavy and strong. I hope you can come in the room and join me. And if you are interested in facilitating, please do come in and talk with me about some of our spots. You know, I don't like to talk all the time. I do like to take sabbatical every once in a while. So thank you so much for being a part of our show and listening. And we know that because of the fact that you have supported us, we're able to be able to sing our song. And we know that you've been supporting. We want to thank you. And we also want to send out some accolades out there to those who are out there having their lectures. Please do send me an email and remind me and tell me.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My brothers who got all their wealth. They say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do? Thank you.
Like,
We want to welcome you once again, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so very much for joining us on this segment. And I want you to remember that you are to have friends and share times and moments with them. A moment at a time is very important. That's why we have these segments set aside on our Always Sisters to talk about unions and friends. And I hope we've been some assistance to you on this airwaves. And for those of you DJs out there, come on in and sit with Omi and let's have a discussion. We're talking about helping one another, being friends. It's nothing wrong with that. Now, we want to say good evening to you, but not goodbye. We'll see you again on Friday. And I got to get that bus because I got to get my fare. Hold up, bus. Hold up. All right, I'll see you. Please meet me on Friday in the Care to Read Room. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And on that note, we will be back at you in the atmosphere on Friday. Baba Booey to you, y'all, and Odabo.